Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob Kelly and Andrew, full crew is here. Opening segment of the show is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of Southern Miss Athletics and great supporters of the Eagle Hour. For that, we are all very grateful. All right, great week for the Golden Eagles, 4-0 on the week, up to number 13 in this morning's D1 college baseball poll. Number 16 in the coaches poll, RPI back up to number 32. That's after defeating nationally ranked Ole Miss 6-2 and then sweeping Louisiana Monroe over the weekend. And Coach Oz, anytime you go 4-0, I know you're a happy head coach and your guys performed very, very well this week.
No, absolutely. It was, anytime you can do that, you're going to celebrate it, like I told you earlier. And it's, just very proud of the guys. Winning the game on Tuesday night against a good opponent and then just carrying momentum, and not exhaling, carrying momentum on the road and arguably a tough place to play sometimes. And, just very proud of that.
All right, so you bang out 18 hits. Let's move on to the weekend, Friday night against Monroe. And J.B. Middleton, your Friday night starter, goes six innings. I'm just curious, Coach, how are you feeling about J.B. right now? I know your Friday night guy is key to you. And where do you think he is in the process of developing into your go-to guy on Friday night?
Well, obviously he's going to keep doing it. And, I like what I'm seeing. I like he had another good game with strike percentage, so that's always important. That's back to back now for him, and both of those times he goes seven innings and into the seventh the other one, so that's important. And again, I'm ultra critical of him, and I just see the things that we can be better at, and I know his best is still yet to come, but he's competing his tail off, throwing the ball to the plate, maintain. He was still up to 95 in that seventh inning. So, I like where he's at.
All right, so Saturday, Cross Sibley bounces back, I think it's fair to say, from a bad outing he had the week before. He goes six innings, gives up seven hits. But overall, he pitched much better, did he not, Coach?
He did. We're still not, and he would tell you, I think, that we're not – It wasn't all the way back to where we want it, but it's closer. We think we know the adjustments and the things to focus on this week, and but definitely he did a great job and pitched better for sure.
And Graydon Harris pitches well Sunday. I got to tell you, from a fan perspective, he does not look like a true freshman out on the mound. He's got a big, strong presence, Coach, and I'm going to guess you're happy with the start he's off to.
Sure, certainly. I think he went six innings, no walks. I'll take that all day. And his stuff's good enough, and that if he does that, he's going to have a chance to do what he's been doing, get you, whether it's four innings, five, six, whatever it might be, but give you, when he comes out, you're in the ball game. And that's all you can really ask for. But he's developing, he's growing, he's learning, he's maturing all at the same time while he's getting that ball on Sunday, and I think he's doing a fine job.
Oz, I'll be the one to nitpick again, but obviously your hitting's doing well, starting pitching's been really solid. I thought it was kind of a roughish week for maybe the bullpen, particularly Saturday. I know Ock and Payne had some rough outings. Sundstrom had a rough outing too. I mean, what's kind of your take on the bullpen right now, just overall, and where do you feel like it's at?
You know, well, I think there was, you know, one performance in the bullpen, maybe two, but one in particular that was unacceptable, and that's when Ock and Payne walking those guys. That they can't do that. That was unacceptable. You know, they're better than that, and that was definitely a negative. Sundstrom, no, he did exactly what I wanted him to do. Sometimes the ball finds a hole. Sometimes they get a bloop, you know, this and that. He did exactly what I wanted him to do. I can handle getting beat with some, you know, balls finding holes and base hits than I can get with walks. Sonny, like I said, I said, flush it. Hey, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug, man. You got to move on. And, with McCarty, I'm trying to get him back on track. Gave him opportunity, and it just didn't go his way. And, people might think, you know, it's no time or place to experiment. Well, you know, I believe in McCarty and getting him back out there, and I thought that was the right time, and it didn't go his way, but Chandler came in and did a great job getting him out of it.
You know, obviously Kobe has just been remarkable out of the pen for you guys, but I guess my question is, are you hoping to maybe find another guy who – not that there's guys who aren't capable of it, but maybe somebody else who can be just a lockdown arm for you guys coming out of the pen? Is that kind of what you hope to search for and develop as the season goes on?
You do, yeah. There's no doubt we need, and I verbalize that all the time with them. And, you know, like with Ock, you know, he's 2 2/3, looks great against Ole Miss on Tuesday night, then looks like, you know, he didn't know how to pitch on Friday. And that's on him, man, you know, and I'm not bashing anything. That's consistency is up to the individual. And it's the same approach and stuff. And he certainly should be that guy and can be that guy and has been that guy at times. But now just be consistent. Payne, same thing. And, you know, and there's others. Michael Fowler yesterday, I thought he looked great, in his inning of work. And I told him, well, do it again. Next time, do it again. Just show me consistency. That's all we ask for. Brooks Willoughby's done that. Mm-hmm. Brooks Willoughby's done that. He's shown consistency and stuff. So I think it's there. I just like to see some more, and I just want to see continued consistency. And, you know, you can get beat, and that's okay. And you can have like Sundstrom's outing. He did nothing wrong, you know. So I'm like, hey, man, you know, move on and stuff. I can handle that. But it's just when the inconsistencies of throwing strikes and creating messes is what I can't tolerate.
Have you maybe settled on the core of relievers, or are there guys that you still have yet to throw that you're hoping to give a chance to?
That's hard to say, Andrew. I mean, you know, it's there's some guys that haven't thrown that may or may not end up getting a red shirt. There's some guys that have thrown that hadn't had many opportunities. Well, you know, I mean, sometimes there's reasons for that. You know, it's based on what you see in your lives and in the weekly, you know, work that you do. And, you know, it's all earned, and, you know, and everything that we're trying to do is to win and make decisions to help us win. It's not personal. It's not your favorites. It's strictly trying to win and stuff. So there'll be more opportunities for guys, and as time goes, because you're not always going to get, you know, 18 innings out of 25 covered by your starters every weekend.
Coach, you mentioned that you have all the faith in McCarty English, and obviously he has the skill set and the tools to be able to do it. How do you help him emotionally navigate what he's going through now?
Just do the best you can. If there was a secret, if there was a, you know, page in a book that showed me how or something to say, I'd do it. I've done it a long time ago, but just work through it. You know, the storms are real. You know, getting in a rut is real, and some of the biggest things coming back from an injury and stuff isn't physical, it's mental. And, you know, he feels good. He feels good enough to be out there. Just getting going, just, you know, having some success, man, you know, just getting confidence. And it's hard to do at this level of baseball. They're not going to sit up there and just because you come in and not try to hit you. And stuff. So, you know, he's a strong faith young man that, you know, he knows he's in a storm right now. We're just trying to help him navigate it.
And I by no means am suggesting that he is going, you know, through something. But do you believe that sometimes players can try too hard? And if so, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a thing of trying too hard. You got to trust more. You can't try. You got to just trust. You got to believe in your preparation and the execution, and really trust it instead of like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. That's when you kind of paralyze yourself a little bit, and your body doesn't move as consistently or as efficiently. And so, yeah, it's a fine line. You know, you coach them hard. You know, for me with pitchers, you know, we talk about strikes and not walking and strikes and not walking. Well, sometimes I wonder, well, heck, am I scaring them too much with it? But yeah. But I believe in the power of words and a narrative and a daily, you know, just mental warfare type deal with them and reminder. And I think it becomes part of your identity when you do that too. So, but yeah, you can definitely try too hard with things.
It's called analysis paralysis, I guess, Bob. Huh?
Well, Coach, the message has gotten through, because I'll never forget Kobe Allen telling me last year, serious look on his face, when you start throwing balls around here, bad things happen. And so, they know better than to throw a lot of balls, Coach. All right, we're going to continue with Coach Christian Ostrander, whose team has won 9 of their last 10 games, has vaulted up to number 13 in the nation in the D1 baseball poll. Going to talk to Coach about that. And also, we talk a lot about pitching, Kelly, but this team can hit the ball. And we're going to delve into that pleasant fact next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the program. First segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. Don't forget about our Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we appreciate the thousands that downloaded every month. We see the numbers every month. We're pretty amazed, and more so, we're very grateful as we continue our Monday conversation with Coach Christian Ostrander, his team now number 13 in the nation. And Coach, I know you, and I know you told me just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to give you the exact quote, the rankings don't mean a hill of beans to me, but number 13 in the nation has got to put a little bit of a smile on your face, Coach.
Sure, it does. But at the same time, again, that rankings for the program and the fans and the supporters of it, for us, it's just, we don't even talk about it. So, and I know that sounds kind of boring, but it is what it is.
All right, I want to ask you about two kids in particular. Number one is Jake Cook. I mean, we thought we had seen it all last year with McIntyre in center field, but my heavens, you plug in another kid that's just blazing fast, hitting over 400.
480.
Yeah, you just got to be thrilled with Jake Cook.
No doubt. It's it's losing McIntyre last year, the draft. You know, he was such an integral piece, and you know, proud for him and his opportunity, and now to be able to get a guy like Jake, who's been patiently waiting, I guess, you know, his turn to get in there and, you know, that's for y'all to decide who was better or whatever, better year, but just doing kind of what we saw last year, and maybe even some more than that. I don't know, but just very fun to watch, and you know, he's really taken on that role and that persona, and man, he's doing a fine job.
Who do you think of those two kids would be the faster of the two runners?
Well, I mean, Jake, you know, his speed's it's elite. It's, you know, when you grade out the professional level, it's elite. It's up there. So, I mean, he's got to work on his base running, stealing ability and jumps and reads and stuff, but his, you know, start to finish speed's exceptional.
Unbelievable. And then, you know, I think, too, another good story on the team right now is the development of Tucker Stockman, outstanding kid to begin with, but really swinging the bat well, and it looks like you found you a hitting catcher, Coach.
He's doing a great job, you know, and I was driving back yesterday with my wife from the game. She came up there, so we were driving back visiting, and she asked about what got in. I said, just he's experienced maturity, more reps and stuff. It's the game slowing down for him at the plate, and it certainly has. So he's done a great job, and he's done a great job behind the plate as well.
Is it refreshing for you guys? I think this time, again, I'm stealing this stat from Twitter. I think this time last year you had 23 home runs. You're at 34. Of those 34, 19 are solos. Was it refreshing to have runners on base when you hit a home run this weekend?
Absolutely, yeah. That's nothing like a three-run bomb, much less a grand slam. That makes you feel real good. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, those numbers are numbers and stuff, and coincidental or whatever you want to say it is – It's good. It's good when you can, you know, get a crooked number with one swing of the bat.
And it feels like Pato has finally, not that he hasn't in the past, but he's really solidifying that power bat of just driving in runs and, you know, really boosting that production. His average might not say it, but I'm sure he's got, probably leads the team in extra base hits.
Yeah, his slugging percentage has got to be up there. I don't have any stats in front of me either, but yeah, I mean, how many home runs he has? 9?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so your slug's going to be pretty good when you do that, plus a lot of doubles, I'm sure. So, no, he looks great, man. And again, he's just another one, just like, you know, it should be – the game should be a little slower right now. And, you know, he's a four-year veteran starter. And, you know, I think he's doing what we hoped he would do. And not to, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road. We know that with any of us. And so he just got to keep – staying in the middle and weathering the storms and having fun, which he always does.
And then, okay. I know you were trying to get Ben Higdon going this weekend, but it seemed like Joey Urban has proven why you maybe can't take him out of the lineup.
It's hard to. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, and Ben's a fine player, man. It's, you know, he is. We've seen it, you know, in the scrimmages leading up to it, stuff like that. And but he'd be the first to tell you he knows it's got to translate, you know, to the game when you get those opportunities. And it's a hard game, and he'll get more opportunities, but Joey's doing great, and it's a luxury to have. And we said it from the very beginning that this is a team that has a little bit of depth, and there'll be some really good players that aren't in that lineup. And, you know, they just got to keep themselves ready.
That's when you know your program is in pretty good shape, you know, when you could throw a blanket over about five of them and really not lose a whole lot necessarily,
right,
than any guy you pull out. But looking ahead, Coach Ostrander, tomorrow night the Mississippi Gulf Coast will host your team and the Nichols Colonels, who in their own right, pretty doggone good baseball team, and then you come back for a series with South Al this weekend. The Colonels first. Other than recruiting purposes, the purpose of games like this at Biloxi, is it strictly for recruiting, or what's the idea behind games like this, or what would you like to accomplish?
Well, I think it's more about the fan base, and you know, letting — we got such a great, you know, contingency of fans down on the coast. You know, I mean, I think back to those Conference USA days, and you know, at MGM with the tournament, and man, there'd be 4,500, you know, Golden Eagle fans there for those championship games and stuff. And so we got a good showing, and it's close enough for folks from here, you know, from Hattiesburg area, if they want to drive down and enjoy a dinner or something, or go to the casino and then go to the game, they can do that. So It's just good to get down where you got a strong fan base down there, and for us to be able to go play in their backyard. Just like when you go to Jackson, you got a Jackson fan base and stuff. So that was the idea of it. And you know, Hunter Reed with MGM and Biloxi Shuckers really wants us to come. You know, multiple times if we can. But sometimes it is hard to give up multiple home games. But we look forward to going down there tomorrow. It should be a fun night.
Should have a great Southern Miss crowd down there too, because I don't think I've ever been to a game down there that. The Southern Miss fan base didn't really turn out on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, that's what we're counting on, and I think it will be. And that's like I told the guys yesterday in our post game meeting. You know, we get to go try to put on a show tomorrow. You know, and perform for our fans that are gonna looking forward to us coming down there.
Hey, one other kid I want to ask you about, and I think he's a team favorite. Obviously, he's been on the program a long time. Is Chandler Best, and you bring him in yesterday. The game was probably under control, but, you know, you're in a situation, bases loaded, no outs. He comes in and retires the side. Is Chandler Best back where you hoped he would be from injury, Coach?
I think so. I think physically it's there. Now mentally just getting back in that swing of things, is he's doing a good job with that. Chandler was sick this week, and he wasn't even at the game Saturday, so I didn't know if he'd be available Sunday, but he felt good enough, and so – you know, what he did, you know, was a really, really hard to do. I mean, it's bases loaded, no outs, and not to give up a run was really impressive. So I think that's a good confidence booster for him.
And another confidence booster had to be for Brooks Willoughby. I mean, you bring him in with a game on the line. You've had a 6-2 lead. Now all of a sudden it's 6-6, and you get ahead by one run. This kid comes in 2 1/3 and just retires everybody. Great job by Willoughby.
Oh, it was. That was, that was what we needed, obviously. But he came in there and faced seven hitters and got seven outs and just really never even doubted it, really, honestly. So very proud. We saw that at TCU a little bit, too, early in the year. So we know he's capable of it. He knows he's capable of it. And, he's a guy that's, kind of putting together a pretty good year of being consistent.
I think that enough of the season has gone along now, you guys, that I might be going out here on a limb, but I think Southern Miss is pretty good.
You think?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you say, Coach?
I think we got a lot of capabilities. You know, it's a hard game, and, there's a lot more meat on the bone, and we just got to keep plugging and playing. And our goal, we just want to be better. We want to be playing our best baseball in May, so we just got to keep growing and keep writing the story, as we like to say.
All right, Coach. Well, we sure enjoy our conversations with you every week, and I know you got to be feeling pretty good right now. You're in first place, a game ahead. I guess the message to the team, keep your head down, one baseball game at a time. Is that correct?
Pretty much. I think you know me well enough by now. We simplified a lot, and just my job is not to let these guys exhale, so that's what we're trying to do.
And, Coach, we appreciate you putting up with us every Monday. We truly do, sir.
All right. Thank you all.
All right. Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody, ready to – I get the sense. Get back out there on the practice field and get ready for the next game.
You know, this series with South Al coming up this weekend, and obviously the Nichols game tomorrow night, but looking ahead to the conference schedule this weekend, this South Alabama team's really been an enigma. You know, they started out just – blew hot. I mean, they were just doing everything right, and that boat's been taken on water, Andrew, the last couple of weeks, and I'm not sure anybody can put their finger on it as to, not that we want it to stop, but I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, it's just maybe they're playing better teams and they're not as good as we had thought. Of course, they thumped Ole Miss pretty good the week before, so we know what they're capable of when they're clicking, but yeah, I don't think you can take the foot off the gas with these guys.
This team even better than last year?
I think it will be by the end of the year.
Andrew?
If they stay healthy.
This Southern Miss team? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think this is a very good baseball team. Just keep Kobe Allen in a bubble wrap. Do not let anything happen to Kobe Allen.
Here's a fun thought. If I don't want to put it out there, but if he gets hurt, man, they're in trouble.
No. All right, Southern Miss has a new women's basketball coach. We'll talk about that next.
C-103. Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Coach Oz for joining us every Monday. Knowing he don't want to put up with us, but he does, and we're grateful to him for that. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. Great place to take yourself for lunch, and a great place to catch the next Southern Miss ball game. Genesis of Pattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are just the finest on the road today. You can visit their all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And remember, when you get ready to buy a car, remember what Mr. Mac Grubbs, who owns Genesis of Hattiesburg, does for Southern Miss Athletics. He is a big, big supporter.
Yeah, and while Bob Getty gets to drive around a Genesis, Andrew, you and I have got Rolls Canardleys, cars that can roll down one hill and Canardley make it up the next.
Mine looks like the Flintstones car.
Says the man who lived in Cambridge.
That was then.
Yes. That was then. All right, well, the speculation is over. The search has ended, and Missy Bilderback is the new women's basketball coach at Southern Miss. There was a time she seemed to be the front runner, then maybe not the front runner. Then, as we reported last week, we had sources say she was right back in the picture. And Andrew, she's the new coach.
Yeah, I don't know if they're. I don't know if front runner would be a great, and not just Missy. This would be for anybody. If she was the front runner or the clear cut, you know, first choice, she would have been the head coach the day the season ended. Right? I think the timing suggests all of that, and that's not a knock to Missy. I think that's Southern Miss trying to assess all of their options, see what they had, and
which makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And from what I've gathered, it seemed like it was the best option that they could get. Some of their other options didn't quite work out. And again, it's not a knock to Missy. And I said this on the show before, if she's the best option they could get, absolutely hire her. But yeah, I mean, that's what it was, the bottom line. And, you know, it feels like, you know, they had the unofficial imposed deadline of May 25th is when the women's portal opens up. You know, if you're coach
March, correct.
And if your coach had retired or was fired, you can go in earlier. And I think Trinity Rowe entering the transfer portal, who's the Sun Belt freshman of the year, may have forced them to move a little bit quicker. So yeah, but Missy Bilderback's your winner. I know she's got a lot of local ties. It'd be a great story if she can win in Hattiesburg.
All right, Ben Milam did the play-by-play for Monroe women's basketball her first year. Ben now works for Supertalk Mississippi. Wealthy, wealthy now that he's in the news department at Supertalk. And Ben, we appreciate you coordinating this through your people. Now that you're on the news staff up there, we have to go through. We have to go through Ben's people now to get him on the show.
Yeah. Absolutely. For what it's worth, Bob, my agent, says he loves working with you.
Well, I'm relieved to hear that. All right, Ben, you did an entire year, broadcasted every game that Missy Bilderback coached at Monroe. Tell our listeners what you saw there and what brand of women's basketball do you anticipate her bringing here?
Yeah, well, you know, it was really an interesting time for me. You know, it was my first D1 broadcasting job, and it was her first D1 coaching job. And she had obviously, maybe not obviously for some people, but she had just come off of a really long, successful stint at Jones College. And so she was, you know, in some ways we were still learning together on the media side of things. And I got to see her learn some of the D1 side of things, some of the aspects that she didn't have to deal with when she was in junior college. And, you know, dating back to her high school days, she had won everywhere and she was used to winning. And ULM is a tough place to win. You know, I think anyone at ULM would tell you that, just in terms of resources. And you've got a lot of peer programs really close to you. La Tech's 30 minutes down the road, and that is historically a really, really strong women's basketball program. And so I came away in those early days, and even just after that full year, just really impressed with how Missy and her staff as a whole handled all of those obstacles behind the scenes and on the court. But talking about, I think, what you're going to see on the court, it really, I think, will depend on what kind of personnel she has. You know, they were really planning on playing a certain way when they were coming in there and doing preseason practices. I was talking to her, thought they were going to have a big 6'5" center, Emma Merriweather, who they thought they were going to get eligible. She was first team all conference last year, and it would have, you know, or the year before that, and would have totally changed the way that they played. Then they didn't get her eligible, and so they had to kind of tweak the scheme a little bit, and it was more of a run and gun type offense, less so play inside out as to what they were playing for. But one thing that you know, I think that side of things should encourage you if you're a Southern Miss fan, if it is more of a personnel driven program, is that she has proven that she is a really, really good roster builder. That year, she brought in 7 Division I transfers. 6 of them were Power 5 transfers. And, you know, she did something very similar the next offseason. She's got a proven ability to build relationships with players from high school to junior college to now D1 and build rosters really quick and flip them really quick. Again, ULM, that was a program that was really, really, really at rock bottom, and she – you know, came in there in year one and won 21 games. And the biggest part of that was because she brought in the right kind of players. I think she's going to do something similar at Southern Miss.
I think there were some complications, but, you know, you had several factors as to, you know, that Missy Bilderback and the Southern Miss folks had to work out. Number one, you know, her son is going to be a senior next year in high school. So, as well, do you want to uproot the family, you know, coming into the senior year? Her husband, Chip, was a football coach at Columbia High and was working over there. So that'll have to be worked out. A little bit of a pay cut.
Buyout, which I was told they had secured. So that was perhaps the biggest part of it, if on the Southern Miss side, that is.
But the Southern Miss buyout was a little bit smaller than anywhere else, because that was always a job that she... You know, if it came open, that's something that she always wanted to be able to entertain if it was offered. So apparently all those hurdles have been cleared in time for the transfer portal for that to open up, tomorrow?
Yeah.
So the timing was perfect. But, Ben, I want to get your comment on this. Is Southern Miss going to – and nobody at Southern Miss is going to lose any sleep over this, but they took the Marshall football coach. Now they've taken the Louisiana Monroe women's coach, both from the same league. Is this – the league is not going to look too kindly on Southern Miss when they're raiding all the other teams' coaching cupboards.
Yeah, I don't think that's not giving anyone the warm and fuzzies. But, you know, I think a big part of it is there are obviously, you know, 2 unique circumstances. I think you could say, obviously, it's been talked a lot about, you know, how things ended with Charles Huff at Marshall. And like Andrew pointed out, and that everyone – a lot of people know at this point, is, you know, this was a job that, you know, I can't speak for Missy, but that I think it's pretty obvious that this was a job that she would take once she got into those D1 ranks. I mean, people, dating back to her time at Jones College, people have been talking about her as a potential, you know, somebody that could take over for Joy Lee McNellis. A lot of people that really, really love Missy in the Pine Belt area, and have, you know, she's impressed a lot of people professionally as well with as many wins as she has stacked up over the years at a lot of different levels. But hey, I mean, if you're ULM, I know they're sick to their stomach, because she just had the best 2-year stretch in Monroe for that women's basketball program in almost 20 years' time, and so it was really, really impressive. It was a great hire at the time by John Hartwell. And so, yeah, man, it's you hate it if you're ULM, but you love it if you're Southern Miss. I think that's a great way to judge a hire. If the school that you're getting a coach from is sick to their stomach that they're losing said coach, and on top of that, they're a league opponent, you're probably getting somebody pretty good.
And something else we really didn't talk about is, and this is according to Coach Bilderback herself, there were 4 players at Louisiana Monroe who were scheduled to go back next year, which she was going to have a loaded roster. I mean, 4 of those players were pretty doggone good. Now, with this new look of college sports,
they'll be here.
Well, that's will they come to Southern Miss? It's frustrating all the way around.
I agree.
You look for her to bring players with her from Monroe, Ben?
Yeah, I do. I mean, in that first year when I was with her, you know, she 3 or 4 of those Power 5 transfers she brought in had played with her at Jones. Again, I think that is that's one thing she's shown a proven ability to do, and one reason I think why she has been so successful is she builds relationships with players, and those relationships continue as the players bounce around and as she moves up and goes to different jobs. And I think she's really, really good at using those relationships when it comes time to build a roster and, you know, kind of leaning on those and bringing in pieces that have been really good for her in the past and can be really good for, you know, in Hattiesburg.
All right, Ben, we appreciate your input. You were the go-to guy to talk to about this. Now go back to counting your money.
It's going to take a long time, Bob. I appreciate y'all.
Ben Milam, everybody. Super Talk News Department now. Made it big, Kelly.
And Missy Bilderback's family is from here as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of pieces that
guess
make
who
this
will be
fit.
The next football coach at Columbia? I'm just throwing a name out there. Could it be a Bilderback?
Who knows? Crazier things have happened, right?
Frank Zappa, the slime that oozes from my TV set.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I appreciate Ben Milam for stepping in, talking to us a little bit about women's basketball. Of course, Coach Oz for joining us every Monday. You know, if you're not listening to the Eagle Hour, Kelly, and you wanted to stay informed about Southern Miss athletics, you have any idea where you might go?
Well, what I would do is buy a subscription to the Pine Belt News, because the Pine Belt News is your go-to source for news and sports coverage. And when you're getting news and sports coverage, you want to get them from objective reports.
Right. That we just heard about.
Yeah,
right? We just heard about that objective report off air.
Andrew is.
And Kelly, if you were into the JA, and, you know, I know you enjoy wearing ball gowns and stuff.
No, I'm not doing drag anymore.
Privately. Was there a magazine you might want to check
Signature
into?
Magazine is also put out by the same people that put out the Pine Belt News, Bob. And you can get one of those subscriptions for $35 a year. A year, and of course, if you live outside Forest and Lamar counties, it's only $55.
And what
a year.
Was that Andrew Abbedy long cutting deal? I forgot. Oh, 3-year subscription.
But you know what you do get if you subscribe?
You get objective reporting.
Well, not just that, but you don't have to complain every time somebody goes, "Oh, there's a paywall on here. You're paying for it."
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Okay, have we done enough of this?
I think so.
Mobay Beignet Company, that's where you go get beignets and coffees. And that's where Kelly got curb stomped years ago by Luke Johnson in the beignet eating contest. Would you participate in a beignet eating contest against Kelly?
Andrew's one of these fitness guys now. He's in the gym.
Oh, I see.
I don't like beignets enough to do that.
He just kind of explains.
Not, of course, Mo Beignet. They're great.
They're great,
but, right.
Yes. They're, you're catching on, Andrew.
I'm into fitness, too, like fitting a piece of pizza in my mouth, you know.
A couple of pizzas at a time. DBAT is where you go to do softball and baseball training. Kelly's way past that as well. There's nobody that can help you physically at this point.
It's never too late, Kelly.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. It's pretty close.
Young Padawan.
Young Padawan.
Young Jedi.
All right, Andrew, news and notes.
Softball won their series against Troy this weekend.
That's kind of a surprise, wasn't it?
I was kind of expecting them to go for the sweep, and they got beat pretty good on Sunday. Yeah. But they've won 12 of their last 17. They're, I think, now back under 500, but they're 3-3 in the Sun Belt play. They're playing good softball. They played, I think, Mississippi State is 19 last I checked in the country on Wednesday night. So, mm-hmm.
And that game is closing in on being a sellout Wednesday night.
Last I was told on Sunday they had 60 tickets left.
For the Mississippi State Southern Miss softball game on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. So, and more bad weather is on the horizon, supposedly, for this coming weekend against
Well, I checked when you said that. 50% chance of rain Saturday is what I just saw.
All it takes is one lightning strike for a baseball game.
Yeah, within 20 miles of here. Exactly right, yes.
And we also want to let you know, it's not good news, but Coach Jeep Clark, who was the men's basketball coach prior to MK Turk, Jeep Clark passed away late last week. That we wanted to share that with some of our older listeners who remember Coach Clark. And they played basketball at the Reed Green in the, of course, late 60s. But before that, the what's not even there anymore, the sports arena.
I believe John Cox and contributor to the show, Chuck Abity, both played for him.
For Jeep Clark.
Yep. On the freshman team.
Is that right? How about that? All right, baseball, back to that for a minute. Southern Miss now in first place alone with a 5-1 league record. They're followed by Troy, who we were told were going to be undefeated and win the national championship, followed by Troy, Coastal, and Georgia State, all 4-2. JMU also 4-2. Is this fair to say, Andrew, as things continue to sort out, I would anticipate watching Georgia State and JMU fall to the middle of the pack, and I think it's going to be a three-horse race.
I mean, that's what we all expected. You know, UL did beat South Alabama this weekend. I think maybe not count out the sleeping giant. I think it's safe to say we can call them that right now. But yeah, that's the way it's looking right now.
What do you make of Texas State's start so far, Andrew?
Well, they lost their pitching coach, David Pierce, who I had said should the head coach of Rice. And then not only did he become that, he took the job last Friday, and he's now the acting head coach midseason.
At Rice.
And they won their series against Florida Atlantic, who was fixing to be the favorite of the American. So I expect them to maybe fall off now that they've lost their pitch. I mean, that sucks to lose not just your pitching coach midseason, but a great pitching coach. So I'm expecting them to fall off, and that's been kind of the trend.
Did he just say what I thought he said?
I think he did.
He said pitching coach.
And sucks. Real quick, about 45 seconds. What'd you make of the Troy Coastal series, Andrew?
It's what Southern Miss fans needed. They needed a split, and they needed Troy to actually win the series since you get to play them down the road.
Right.
And I really think, Bob, and again, maybe I'm looking through rose-colored glasses, but I think at the end of the season, Southern Miss is going to win this league by 2 or 3 games.
Well, I hope you're right.
We'll see. I mean, if they do that, I'd say hello hosting.
And they should. Yeah. They've proven time and time again that they're perfectly capable of hosting.
Top-ranked non-Power 4 team in the country right now. Something else to kind of remember with that number 13 spot. And it's all about the resume.
Winning 9 out of their last 10. Mm-hmm. They seem to have it in gear. Let's just keep it going.
Well, look at the smile on Bob Getty's face. But
let's just keep it going.
Between how good the baseball team is doing and knowing that he's working with a professional, objective reporter.
I learned that during the break. Boy, if people could only hear what happens in this place during the break.
Glad they can't. You guys would be run out of here.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.